You're listening to the Dana and Parks podcast on KMBZ.
What is up? Man, it feels like summer out there almost. Wearing shorts today feels good.
Sunny, I went and got my car washed.
What?
Wow. That line was jam-packed.
I have washed my car 4 times since the blizzard, and you still can't tell because the roads are so wet.
I was so happy this morning. I went to the community mailbox, and I saw the first patch of grass in my yard for the first time in more than a week.
Yes.
Thank you, Lord Jesus. I know. Don't do it, Dan.
It's going to get really cold this weekend, though.
I know. It's okay.
It's not going to be that cold.
It's okay.
We've been colder.
I'm a glass half full kind of guy.
Mm-hmm.
It is sunny. It is beautiful. That god-awful snow is melting.
Oh. When I got to work, Dan was out by his car. We stood there for like 15 minutes just chatting. It was so nice outside. Yeah. There was no incentive to come inside.
Other than maybe do your job?
Well, I've already done my job.
Ran All right, let's not to get Target, ahead of and on my way into Target, I actually stopped, took my coat off, and left it in the car. Because as I stepped out of the car, I was like, oh, because I went from a garage heated to, you know, outside. So I took my jacket off, I go into Target, and I witnessed an honest person, and I would like to shout this out because we always hear about people in self-checkout scamming the system or, you know,
the skip scanner. Boop.
Yeah. Items that are $56 are suddenly rung up for $2. So I'm standing there. I had 4 things. Those picture frames.
Which, by the way, thank you. What a great gift.
It's not why I'm bringing this up, but you're welcome.
What a great gift. Thank you.
We'll talk about that in a minute. So I'm standing there trying to get my 4 picture frames done. And this woman comes up behind me near the, what do you call the person that stares at you while you're checking out? They're not a checker.
Monitor?
They're a monitor. And she says, I'm sorry, sir. I'd just like to get back in line. I got out to my car and realized I had this in the cart, and I need to scan this.
How honest.
And I turned. I was like, wow. Because, you know, the parking lot is slick. It is sunny out. It is nice out. But the parking lot was ice packed.
Yeah.
She got all the way to her car, realized there was something in the cart that she did not scan, turned around, walked all the way back through that parking lot, went back to self-checkout, had to wait in line, explain what she was doing, and check out. And the monitor said to her, I really appreciate that, ma'am. Thank you. I really appreciate that.
I'll be darned.
Well, so some of the self-checkouts have added the camera with the screen right there with the big red letters that say you're being recorded.
Yeah.
So you can watch yourself the entire time. That is anxiety inducing.
No, well, I flip it off every single time. Lowe's is the one that has the it's looking at you.
Lowe's is very, what's the word I'm looking for? The picture
particular.
Is very, it's very clear.
Yes.
They have probably the most clear photographing, monitoring, whatever camera thing that you can imagine. And I always look up at it and I give it a wink and go.
Oh, you give it a wink. See,
I give it a wink and a little kiss.
But from the text line, she was probably terrified of being prosecuted. When I go to the grocery store, there is anxiety about scanning every single item in my cart because I don't want to be accused of skip scanning.
So I was tempted by the devil this morning. I went to the grocery store, and I didn't bring it for lunch today. I'll probably bring it for lunch tomorrow. I got a pre-made Cobb salad. And then, you know, you have to get the packets of ranch or Italian dressing or whatever. They're little packets, and they cost 50 cents.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm scanning my salad, and I thought the devil came into my brain. He goes, just put the salad dressing on the top. Just scan the salad, and just that way you don't have to pay 50 cents for the salad dressing.
Okay.
And I'm like, Satan, be gone.
Is your self-dignity worth 50 cents?
Yes. So I scanned the salad dressing. I was not going to steal the salad dressing.
Good for you. Because, you know, a little bit of salad dressing starts adding up when 5 million people steal salad dressing.
Yeah, and then you end up stealing $13 glasses from Walmart.
I mean, awful
time.
And then
you start stealing cars.
I mean, then you look up and you're chiefsaholic. You're robbing banks to fund your gambling issue.
Selling That's meth. Right. I mean,
enjoy your meth.
Where do we stop?
Gateway theft.
So coming up later this afternoon, beg your pardon, Bonner Springs man pleading guilty to furnishing alcohol to minors. And this is not a 21-year-old guy or a 25-year-old guy. This is someone who is old enough to really know better. Really know better. And we're going to try to get the Leavenworth County DA on the phone and talk to him about it. How this happens, I'll never understand.
Oh, I understand.
Why it happens, I'll never understand.
There are two groups of people, and I do put them in very separate categories.
Okay.
We've all heard of the moms who are prosecuted, who are the party parent, and they're down doing body shots with the 17-year-olds trying to relive the glory days of high school.
Woo-hoo.
That's camp number one, where you need a good therapist in between wearing the orange and coming back home. Because there's something going on with you if you think it's okay to drink and party with 17-year-olds. Then in the other camp, be honest, Scott, there is the they are all going off to college or home from college, age 19, age 20, and 6 or 7 or 10 of them that were on the same baseball team or dance team stay the night in your basement, and you shut that basement door and tell everyone no one is leaving this house. I'll see you in the morning, and you go about your business. And I want to ask Todd about this because there are two camps of that behavior. The law does not see it differently either way. I think socially there are parents who see a distinction between those two events.
Oh, absolutely. I have knowledge of both from when I was in high school.
Yes.
We lost a legend today.
I thought that.
We lost a legend today.
Did not know.
Vaughn into the windup in his first offering. Just a bit outside.
Bob Uecker died.
I must be in the front row. That's what I remember. He may have been a very famous commentator, but to me, he's always I must be in the front row guy.
See, to me, he's always Harry Doyle from the movie Major League. Hey, folks, it's Harry Doyle, where he takes a sip of whiskey, and then while he's in the booth, and then he wipes the whiskey behind his right ear.
Vaughn into the windup in his first offering. Just a bit outside.
Just a bit outside. It was Miller Lite, by the way, for which he sits down in the front row and gets caught because he doesn't have a ticket to sit in those seats. And he famously utters, oh, and looks like he doesn't know what, I'm sorry, this must be some kind of mistake. I must be in the front row. My dad and our family, we have all dropped that line thousands of times.
You know, one of the best things about being an ex-big leaguer is getting freebies to the game. Call the front office, bingo. And once these fans recognize me, I probably won't even have to pay for my light beer from Miller.
Down the clock!
I love them. These fans know I drink light because it's less filling and it tastes great. Good seats, huh?
You're in the wrong shape, buddy. Come on.
Oh, I must be in the front row.
Come on.
Light beer from Miller.
Wrong seat, buddy.
I must be in the front row.
Wait.
It's great. So good.
Good seats, huh?
You're in the wrong shape, buddy. Come on.
Oh, I must be in the front row.
I forgot about that. Anyway, he died today at the age of 90. 54-year broadcasting career, but people forget
wow.
He was also a major leaguer.
He played, too,
Brewers.
Didn't he?
Brewers.
Briefly.
He played for 3 seasons, 2 for the Brewers, and 1 for – he won a World Series ring with the St. Louis Cardinals. And anyway, they built a statue of him. He was great at self-deprecation humor. And they built a statue of him outside of the Milwaukee Brewers Stadium. And he said, well, this is just great for the fans. And even better for the pigeons.
Nice.
They released a statement. Bob was the genuine item. And this is from the Major League Baseball commissioner. He was always the funniest person in any room he was in and always an outstanding ambassador for our national pastime.
54 years calling the Brewers.
My
can you believe that?
Goodness.
54 years.
Yeah, flags are at half staff there
90.
Today.
Passed at 90 years old. He mm-hmm. had cancer. He was diagnosed first in 2023 and passed away from it earlier today, surrounded by family. But I will always remember. See, I grew up in the 80s, and Bob Uecker was the guy from Major League.
Yeah.
Just mm-hmm. a bit outside. Anyway, God bless him. God bless him. God bless his family. 913-586-7798. Dana Wright, Dan Weinbaum, Sam Stevie III. My name is Scott Parks here on KMBZ. Story here from the USA Today. A woman on an Air France flight from Paris to Boston died of a heart attack this week, despite efforts from a doctor on board and the flight crew to save her life. The deceased, 53-year-old Barbara Dipoli of Topeka was a passenger on a flight from the Paris airport, Charles de Gaulle, to Boston Logan International when she suffered a medical episode. State police in Massachusetts described the situation as an unattended death. Oh, it was attended. And confirmed that detectives from the state police detective unit responded to the scene after the plane landed.
What? Okay. What is the protocol when something like that happens?
Medical emergencies occur on about one out of every 600 flights, according to the CDC. The most common emergencies include fainting. You've done that.
Yep.
Respiratory issues, nausea, and vomiting.
Absolutely nausea. That preceded my fainting spell, by the way.
During 90% of these emergencies, aircrafts continue traveling to their destination. For the remaining, but where do you divert if you're over the Atlantic Ocean?
And if you're, especially if you're past the point of no return, meaning you're closer to your destination than you are.
Right.
I think, okay.
I'm sorry that this woman from Topeka died.
Do they keep them in the seat?
Okay, that was going to be my question. I hate to be insensitive, but once the woman is declared dead on the flight, the doctor is doing CPR, yeah. It's not working, we're not able to keep her alive. Where do you put her? Presumably, she's in the aisle while you're performing CPR.
Yeah.
I mean, if she has a middle seat, do you just put her right back?
I don't think so.
The body is typically moved to a less populated area of the plane, such as an empty row if available, or if I had to guess, probably back towards the lavatory where they have the jump seats.
Well, but most of the flights that I've been on in the last few years have been packed.
That's what I'm saying, is they would take her back to where the flight attendants spend their time when they're not going and running the drink cart or serving food adjacent to the lavatory.
Oh, my God. Is she the first person off the plane when it lands or the last?
Oh, I would think the last.
That.
You would not make everyone wait.
So they talk about discreet placement. They try to place the body without informing all of the other passengers. However, in this scenario, I'm sure due to the response, all of the other passengers knew what was going on. If they have been declared dead mid-flight, they will not emergency land. They will not divert.
I do think it is worth mentioning she is a retired member of the Kansas Air National Guard.
Only 53 years old.
I saw that.
53. Why did they describe it as an unattended death? I mean, that was a death that was quite attended.
Well, because if this is a lengthy flight and you are nodded off napping, which is very common, and the flight attendants come over to get, you know, would you like any snacks? They're not going to wake you up for that, Scott. Let's say she was sitting leaning against the window seat, okay, and it looks like she's napping and they leave you alone. I mean, you've fallen asleep on a plane before and you wake up and everybody has drink service and snacks. You know, I think it's very possible she passed away and no one noticed. And then they tried to wake her and could not, and tried to do some life-saving measures that it was too late, is my guess.
I've heard many stories of people that fell asleep on a plane and just their head drifted over to a stranger's shoulder and that stranger didn't know what to do. So they didn't do anything. They just let them sleep there.
You know, my parents had...
Wouldn't you?
Yeah. My parents had a plane diverted. Emergency landing in St. Louis.
Because of your dad.
When my father had this bizarre vasovagal seizure that they think... He never flies in the early morning hours anymore, by the way. Because there's some studies to suggest that early, early, early in the morning, certain people are more susceptible to fainting or having this leg issue where your circulation is cut off, and it looked like he was having a full-on seizure. My mom thought it was a heart attack. It was not. And they brought that plane down like that.
What happened to you when you fainted on that flight? It was wasn't it?
To Mexico, also very early in the morning. I mean, I think we were up at 4 a.m. to catch a 5:45 flight or something. Okay. And since then, I do not fly early in the morning. I get like a weird...
But what happened to you on that flight?
Manically diabetic feeling when I'm up that early and I don't eat and I'm on a flight. I just felt extremely nauseous.
You were in the aisle.
I was actually in the middle seat, and I said to my girlfriend, oh my God, I think I'm gonna be sick. And you know how you're like, uh-oh. And so I start to get up. I got my seatbelt off. I took about 10 steps toward the back of the plane, down that center aisle.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember I saw like black just go.
You got tunnel vision.
I got super tunnel vision. And then apparently I fell down and collapsed in a man's lap that was sitting in the aisle.
Nice man.
And my girlfriend said, because this was for my birthday trip, my girlfriends were all on the plane and said they just heard, is there a doctor on the airplane? We need a physician, please, back to the back of the plane. And they thought I had just gotten up to go to the bathroom. And so then they look back.
They didn't know it was you.
They didn't know. I mean, she knew I'd said I didn't feel good and I kind of hopped up. But then they hear, attention, passengers, is there a doctor on board? And they all look back and there's Dana lying in some guy's lap. And everyone's like, oh, my gosh. And
you're lucky your face didn't hit like an armrest.
Yes.
You knocked out your teeth.
The last thing I remember, and I remember this so clearly, we were there celebrating my 40th birthday. The flight attendant met me as I was getting the tunnel vision. And she ended up telling me later I was white as a sheet.
Huh.
And the last thing I remember is all that tunnel vision came closed is she goes, are you pregnant? And the last thing I remember thinking was, what? And then boom, down I went.
Well, we don't often think about the stress that altitude and that rapid change in altitude puts on our body. And if you're in a situation like an early morning flight, you haven't had any protein or any sugar in your system that morning.
Yeah.
All you've had is maybe a cup of coffee because you were, you know, dragging butt trying to get to the airport on time. That will have a dramatic impact, an even more aggressive impact on your body if you're in that state where you're already a little bit anxious because you're going to be flying.
You hadn't been drinking at all?
Not at all. The 4 a.m. wake up call.
A lot of people will drink before they get on a plane.
Nope. I had an orange juice and like a granola bar before I got on the plane. And I wasn't feeling great that morning, but I never feel good when I get up that early. But when they brought the plane down for my dad.
That was 10 years ago.
My Mexico trip. They had him on a gurney so quickly and wheeled him out. And my mom said, this just breaks my heart. They were all going to Florida. And my mom turned around and she said, I am so sorry for the delay. You know, my mom's always thinking about other people.
Right.
She was crying. Please enjoy the rest of your trip. We are so sorry. And she said everyone broke out into applause. And she said she was crying and they got him off the plane. And he's been fine ever since. They just said, you know what? We don't know what caused it. It's never happened again.
And he just won't fly in the morning anymore.
He will never fly in the morning.
By the way, unattended means without formal medical care.
Oh, even if it's a physician that's on board?
That is not formal medical care. She was, this woman from Topeka was not technically under the medical care of this doctor in a legal sense.
Sad story. God bless her. Can't even imagine. I don't think I've, other than a kid throwing up on the flight to Jamaica right in front of my mom, I don't think I've ever seen anybody have a medical issue on a plane.
Ever?
No, at all. No.
We had some pretty severe turbulence flying into Seattle one year, and it was pretty much in unison. Everybody who had a weak stomach.
Nausea-inducing.
Oh, yeah. Let's just say that everybody grabbed the bag out of the back of the seat in front of them at the same time, and I didn't have that reaction, but I was sitting there like, I'm about to listen to this.
And once one, you know, once one of those dominoes falls, bar the door.
And that smell travels quickly.
The noise, the smell, you're in an enclosed. They ought to just drop the masks when that happens.
911.
Breathe something out of that paper bag.
913-586-7798. 586-7798. Here on Dana and Parks. All right, welcome back. Good to be with you on a all things considered beautiful Thursday afternoon. From Fox 4, one local theft victim says she is out nearly $100,000 worth of items after thieves hit at least two storage facilities. The suspects seem to be more sophisticated with how they're getting into these units, having plenty of time to get what they want and then take off. Kendra Lynn, one of the victims, says she is devastated. Lynn was in the process of moving, so she put many of her designer clothes, shoes, hats, purses in a storage unit, something many people do when they're moving. However, Lynn got a call from Public Storage 5 days after the burglary. When she went to her unit in Independence, she couldn't believe her eyes. Quoting here from Lynn to Fox 4, they cut the locks on the storage and your things are gone. It wasn't even my storage, it was the storage behind me. As she described, the thieves cut the locks on a neighboring unit and then cut through the back wall to get access to her unit.
Oh.
Yep.
So they perhaps rented one unit legitimately, and then...
No, they cut the locks on the one behind her, got into that one.
Oh, they did cut those locks.
Stole stuff from there, and then cut through the back wall to get into her unit, she claims, and they she values the items in the storage unit at $100,000, including an Alaskan fur jacket that was worth thousands of dollars.
Okay. Alaskan fur, Alaskan fur.
When I was...
Do you think that these were singing that on the way out?
Mm-hmm. Probably wore it.
Okay.
Alaskan fur.
Can you read that without singing that jingle in your head?
No, you cannot.
When I read this story before I sent it to you guys this morning, mm-hmm. and I saw Alaskan fur jacket, that song actually played in my head.
Because no one wears those anymore, and I hate to go squirrel or beaver or whatever the hell that dead thing is you're
or
wearing.
Or mink.
But, you know, it
might have been mink.
There aren't a lot of people around town that still sport those. I'm not denying that was thousands of dollars that was lost, and she's probably upset about it and has every right to be. I want to go back to the $100,000 total and ask our listeners, if you have a storage unit, have you cataloged or taken photographs of the contents inside? That's question number one.
Okay.
And question number two, are those units insured? And if not,
they would have to be.
Do you have to have a separate rider through your insurance or homeowner's insurance to cover items if you have high dollar items in the storage unit?
There are specific insurance companies that work with storage units, but they only cover up to $25,000.
Huh. I'm shocked that they still use just locks.
Well, so it's not like a run-of-the-mill padlock. They use a very upgraded version. They're called slide locks. It's the big, it looks like a hockey puck almost, with a keyhole in the middle. Okay. And at the top of that hockey puck, there's a little cutout. And so you slide that cutout over the lock mechanism, and then you twist the key, and the lock bar goes through the hole. And it's designed so that you can't cut the lock. Now, obviously, people have figured out ways to drill out those locks, but it is much more difficult for you to get into those because of the way that they have designed those newer locks.
And the storage facility apparently has surveillance cameras all over it. And police say they are investigating. They are waiting on getting the footage from the storage unit.
All right.
She is upset, and understandably so, about the five-day delay in notification. But I'm asking, I've never worked at a storage unit. I've never held a storage unit. You know, do employees go to each and every storage unit every single day and check?
Do you walk the lot?
Do you walk the lot? Was this during the blizzard?
It doesn't say when it was.
In the times that I have dealt with storage units, which has been a fair amount in my life, the owners were regularly walking the lot.
Okay. Why have you dealt with storage units frequently in your life?
The company that I worked for, when we would travel around the country, they stored the stuff that they needed to set up at different trade shows
in
storage units.
It was for business.
Yeah.
Okay. Because, and I understand if she's moving, you got to put stuff somewhere. I recall when I moved into my new, well, it's not new anymore, but my house 4 years ago, I had the moving company come over. And because there was going to be a month delay from when I sold my house in Roland Park to when I moved into my new house in Western Shawnee. And I had the moving company come over, and they just held all my stuff at their warehouse. I didn't move
it. Did you ask, is this insured for theft?
No, I just assumed.
Right. I think that this is the kind of thing that most of us just like, we trust without verifying. You just assume you've got all my stuff, and when it's time to retrieve it, it'll be there.
But I will say, having been a professional mover in my life before I got into radio, I know how these warehouses are, and most people's stuff is – there are usually four – inside the warehouse, which is huge, there are four different levels, and you have to use a huge – Sam, what is that called? It's not a tractor, but has the two big –
Forklift,
thank you. Oftentimes, we would have to use a forklift to get up and get people's stuff. It's so high up
Sure.
that thieves wouldn't be able to get to it. And so I just kind of...
Where there's a will, there's a way. I'm sorry. I'm going to stop you right there because I drove by the hellhole that is the Gateway to Hell project that has sat vacant for 20 years in Mission, and someone figured out a way to climb to the very top of that concrete eyesore, upside down, dangling, and graffitied all over it. It's pretty nice, honestly. It's artistic.
Like on the stairway?
No. Way up at the top.
At least we have artwork on our concrete that's never going
to
be coming
to me. If you're a ne'er-do-well or an artist looking for a concrete canvas in Mission, or someone trying to break into a storage unit, I don't know that just that height would deter anyone. I really don't. If you know, let's say that there's rare gold coins up top.
Well, how are you going to know that?
I think you drill into one and...
And if you're putting rare gold coins in a storage unit and not a safe deposit box,
right,
you're dumber than you look.
Am I the only one struggling with the details of this
story? And let me ask why. And we're not saying this didn't happen. I'm so glad you just said that.
So I'm not the only one is what you're saying.
You are not, Sam.
Okay.
So are we claiming BS meters are going off?
No, but follow me here.
Mine might be.
If, in fact, there was $100,000 worth of stuff in that storage unit, and man, if you don't have artwork in there or diamonds or gold, it's going to be hard to reach $100,000 worth of furniture and memorabilia. But if, in fact, it was $100,000, breaking into that unit is one thing. The thieves would have then had to have loaded up everything she owns. Where was anyone? You know, it would take a while if for $100,000 worth of stuff, she said it was packed full. It would take a while, Sam, right? To like physically load all of that stuff and haul it and steal it out of there.
Assuming it was one of the newer locks, it probably took about 30 minutes for them to get through the lock on the unit that they weren't even trying to break into. And then they had to take a metal saw of some kind to cut through the back wall of the storage unit, and they just so happened to trip on the gold mine, cutting through the wall of the storage unit that they had just broken into and got $100,000 worth of stuff, to Dana's point, which would have taken hours to load.
You know, unless there are just diamonds, like a sack full of raw diamonds.
And don't most of these storage units have a gate at the front that you have to have the code just to get in?
Most of them probably not, but any of them that you're paying a decent amount to store your items there, they should have a gate.
Now, I get it if you're using a storage unit because you're moving. I don't really get it. I would hire a moving company and just store it at their warehouse. Having said that, for those of you who use a storage unit just to hold your extra stuff, you have too much stuff. You have way too much stuff. I've never understood. What's that show, Storage Wars or something?
Fantastic show. Yeah, Storage Wars.
Yeah, I mean, why are you storing all this crap, like a grill, an old couch, trophies? If you're using a storage unit to hold an old couch and a grill, you don't need the couch nor the grill.
From the text line, anyone proficient at lock picking can open one of those locks in 30 seconds. This isn't Assassin's Creed.
I'm not saying she didn't get wiped out. I'm really not.
I just don't think it's 100 grand.
I think if you looked at the average value inside of any given storage unit, and I don't mean Jay Leno's storage unit with classic cars inside or the heirs to Hellsburg who just stuff their homes with stuff. They don't need a storage unit. I mean just the average storage unit like my parents have. The value to my parents, it means a lot to my mom. Things and papers and old Afghans crocheted by my grandma. It has a lot of meaning to my mom. But if you said to me, put a price, if everything in that storage unit was wiped out, you know what the numbers bear out when it comes to estate sales, Scott. If it's not guns, silver, or albums, it has no value. It does. People don't want your furniture.
But let me ask you something, because I know your mom has a storage unit, or does she have multiple?
I think it's more than one.
Okay. What are you, you know, when the sad day comes? No, I'm going to ask you a question. I want the truth.
You have dad call in right now, because I ain't dealing with it.
Well, let's say Craig goes before mom, and none of us are looking forward to that day. And then the day comes when, sadly, Big Juicy goes to meet the Lord. What are you going to do with all of that stuff in those storage lockers?
It's going to end up on an episode of Storage Wars, but it's going to be the disappointed face when they open the garage. They're going to go, this is photos and an old bed set. And I asked my dad when I was in Biloxi the last time. I said, what is in there? And he just goes, I don't even know, Dana.
Is the over under 3, 5?
I think it might be 3. It's okay. Between 2 and 3.
Storage units?
And he can't even tell me what's in it. I just think it's old
crap,
stuffed animals. You know, it's stuff. And the only reason I bring this up is because I'm telling you, 99.999% of storage units, they are all making a bank off of the rest of us whose stuff is important. I'm not saying it's not important. I'm saying there's no real monetary value.
This is all sentimental.
It's all sentimental for 99.9% of the stuff that's in there. You know, are you going to find like a rare baseball card in one of them, maybe?
So when Big Juicy passes, are you even going to open these or are you just going to stop paying and just let them keep it?
No, I will not. Because I got everything out of that house when they moved. I got my grandpa's bell.
Which you wanted.
His captainship.
Right.
I got all of the photographs. And I got a couple of...
So you have the sentimental stuff that you want. A
couple of crocheted blankets for my grandma. That's it. I'm sorry, Mom. I don't want your armoire.
So that bill is not going to get paid after she goes to meet the Lord. 913-586-7798. 586-7798 here on Dana and Parks. All right, we'll get to Big Juicy's husband in just a moment. But first, he's on a time crunch, so we'll go to him right now. Craig Wright, hello, yes, sir.
Hey, how you doing?
We're doing well. What's in the storage units?
How many are there? Lay it on me.
Oh, no, there's just a one.
Okay.
I think Stacy's got one. That's on her. But, no, we have one. We pared down from a large one to a small one, and they're gold, and I laughed uncontrollably every time I hear this, is to get both of them emptied out by March. Now, this will be the third March.
Well, they didn't say a year, did they?
Well, no, they didn't. So I got to give them that. They just said March, not any specific. Oh, good Lord. And answer to your question, I have absolutely no idea. I have, I don't know, maybe 30 or 35 dozen golf balls, and that's the only thing I've got in there.
Mm-hmm.
So,
and are we talking a standard 10x10 unit, Dad?
Yeah, it's a small one.
Because you know where I'm going with this, and I don't know how much this is per month. I think these run about $100 per month. I don't know if there's anything in there that I was missing. I wouldn't even know it because it's been so long that stuff has been stored.
Oh yeah, it's just all junk. I mean, I don't know. I guess to your mom, there's some sentimental value stuff. She just keeps saying, I got to go through it. I just keep wanting to set it on fire, but I think I'd probably get arrested for that.
Well, you think? Maybe arson is a crime? I don't know.
What if you only arson your own stuff? I mean, that's frowned upon.
Yeah. Well, probably, but I don't know. I have to check into the statute down here in Mississippi.
Well, Craig, one last question, then we're going to get to April in Leavenworth. God forbid, the day is going to sadly come when you guys move on to the next dimension. If Big Juicy dies before you, will you keep paying for that storage unit, or are you just going to let it lapse?
Oh, hell no. I will take out my golf balls. And then you watch that show on TV, Storage Wars.
Yep.
I'm calling somebody and saying, come and get it.
Okay.
I love you.
Appreciate the honesty, Craig.
Love you too. Have a good show, guys.
Be well, brother.
Here's to hoping it's this March.
April in Leavenworth. Hello, April.
Hi, love your show.
It's yours. Thank you.
So I'm a manager at a storage facility, and oh my gosh, I want to laugh at this so hard. Most units are put together with rivets, and so if they cut a lock, which they can do in about 30 seconds, the disc locks that Sam was talking about, they're pretty easy to get through, unfortunately. But if they were to go through the back wall, it would most likely be put together by rivets, and they would just have to have a special tool to pull those out. But most facilities check the units every day. Like, I have 700 customers, and we check the units every single day.
That's why I'm wondering, April, if this happened during the blizzard, which would maybe account for the fact no one figured out what was going on. 5 days seems like a long time.
It's a long time. Like, even during the blizzard, we had someone in a truck come in and drive through. We never go without holidays every day of the year.
Just in case.
Yes, yes.
Huh.
So, and we always tell people, do not put stuff more than $15,000 worth of value in the unit.
So, real quick, because we're up against the news here at the top of the hour. If somebody breaks into somebody's storage unit, are you insured to pay them back, or do they have to get their own insurance?
They have to get their own insurance.
I see. And what is a 10 by 10 cost per month?
About $75 a month.
$75 a month.
This was a 10 by 10 unit?
I believe so.
No way.
Well, we don't know. We don't know.
Okay. That's a lot of stuff for a 10 by 10 storage unit.
We're asking the reporter now to clarify a couple of details, April. I want to know. I thought it was 10 by 10. Maybe I'm mistaken. I want to know size, and I want to know, did this happen during the blizzard?
Right.
Which would at least for a couple of days explain the delay.
Quick break for the news. Dan Weinbaum has that coming up in less than 2 minutes. Dana Wright, Scott Parks here on KMBZ.
Thanks for listening to the Dana and Parks podcast. Remember, you can catch us online anytime at KMBZ.com.